Hey guys, we're back for part two of this chat with Declan and Marie. We're still just by Drumcliff Church. It's a really nice setting, and we're going to get back into a chat with Marie. Can you just tell us quickly about being the mayor of Sligo, what that's like?
Yeah, it's great. It's really rewarding, and it's a great opportunity to meet people that I would never have met before. And I suppose I can put Sligo on the map a little bit more as well. It's busy. It's every day is different. You still have your council work to do, and you meet regular people every day, and then you have your you might have visitors coming in from outside,
yeah.
And you greet and meet. And we've had I suppose with the Celtic Fringe Festival and being involved with that, it was an honour because I could host a reception in the mayor's parlour,
yeah.
And City Hall, which was lovely. So yeah, people have been really, really good, very respectful, delighted, I suppose, that there's a mayor from North Sligo as well, because traditionally, as I said, and being independent, it would be quite difficult for somebody from who isn't aligned to a party to become mayor.
What do you say? So, is the North, is it what the...
like North Sligo, this municipal area.
Yeah, yeah.
So because traditionally, I suppose, they would... Well, because there's never been an independent,
okay,
councillor,
yeah,
as mayor, you know,
yeah,
from North Sligo. So,
right, okay.
Oh, but it's good.
You got a bit of a we're sitting here and a few people inside were saying hi Marie, and out here,
yeah,
hi Marie,
yeah,
so
yeah,
you can't walk anywhere without,
yeah,
getting a high five.
Yeah, that's lovely though as well, because people are proud that,
yeah,
that, and I try my best, I suppose, and people see that I'm trying my best to,
yeah,
to promote the area. I was elected through the Dahan system,
yeah,
which is, I suppose, proportional representation at its best as well, whereas,
yeah,
traditionally, I suppose, the parties would share the chairs of the,
yeah,
different committees, whereas with the Dahan system, it was based on the amount of votes that you got,
yeah,
and taking your turn. So that was good, and that hasn't been used before,
yeah,
in Sligo County Council. So,
yeah,
it's good.
Yeah.
And so I suppose it's respectful as well because that system is used.
We've just been joined by a large oil tanker. So I think if we just elevate our voices a little bit,
okay,
and it'll soon pass.
Okay.
We'll keep this broadcast going. Thanks for sharing that sort of insight into being a mayor. And okay, it's leaving now. Right, sorry. What is it Yeats says? Walk on, horseman or something?
Yeah, horseman, pass by.
Tanker, pass by, please. When you were talking earlier, it's coming into my head. I should have said that you've most of your career you've been a teacher. You've got five kids, and your husband's heavily involved in the GAA. And that's what I was saying about being the envious of that, the community that you have here. But I want to go on and ask you about the challenges really of being one, a woman in Irish politics, and two, being an independent woman politician.
Yeah, I suppose in a lot of ways it's liberating because you don't have to toe the party line, and you know, you can really, I suppose, within reason, do what you want, because if you have an idea, you can run with it. If you have a project, you can run with it. You're not confined by different, you know, people in the party telling you what you can and can't do. So that's good that way. I suppose in another way it's difficult because
you used to go back to work.
Go on, walk on, is it postman? No. Sorry, carry on.
So what was I saying? I lost my train of thought there.
We're talking about being an independent woman.
Yeah. It is. It's good, I suppose, because again, you have no political baggage,
yeah,
either, you know. So it's fresh, and people don't associate you with a particular party.
Yeah.
So that's good because you're new, and I still feel like I'm really starting off in a good way,
yeah,
you know, and you're ploughing your own furrow, you,
yeah,
know.
And
so
what
that's
about
good.
Being specifically being a woman in Irish politics?
I find that an awful lot of I suppose more committees, when you look at photos and that, you find that, you know, there are an awful lot of men on different committees. And I suppose it's because they're out of the 18 county councillors, there are only 4 women.
Right, okay.
So fewer women do go into politics. I think it's a traditional thing as well, that that women might think that it's not for them. They might have no interest in it.
Yeah.
It isn't easy a lot of the time on family, because it's like yesterday now that we had a meeting on the county development plan that took 13 hours. One of the other councillors, who has 2 younger children, her husband was away, so she had to sort childcare.
Yeah.
So, you know, I suppose you'd get comments maybe from other people,
right,
that maybe a male politician wouldn't get.
Would that be more, do you think? Do you have any interaction with maybe more of your urban councillors? Is that more a rural thing? Is it a wee bit behind maybe?
No, it's pretty much like people are respectful. It's like I find maybe a couple of mums might pass a comment. Well, maybe just 1 or 2 mums would have passed a comment about, well, you know, about your children at home and that.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, if I was a man, would I get asked that?
Yeah,
so I think a lot of it is just a perception that that it's not a woman, it's not a job for women. But like Marion Harkin is our MEP in Europe.
Yeah.
You know, she'd be very much a role model, and you know, she's a strong, independent woman as well.
Yeah.
So, and she works really, really hard. So I suppose I would look to her, and I think if she wasn't there, I wouldn't have as much faith in the system that somebody can make it, who is a strong, independent woman.
Well, it is a changing world. Like at home, we've got Theresa May came in the head first. There's Theresa May, there's Nicola Sturgeon, there's Arlene Foster, Mary Lou McDonald is very strong,
he's
a possible successor to Adams. And for the girl who's just been born or under the age of 10, it's a different world altogether.
It is. But I think we still have to show that that women are well able to, you know, and that they're that they'd be nominated to committees and elected to committees, and encouraged as well, and encouraged at grassroots level. Like I'd know a lot of strong women, and I'd love to say to them, you know, you should go run for local elections, you know, and go into politics, because you know they're good hard workers, they're solid people, you know, so they, you know, they bring communities with them as well, you know.
I wish you all the best, and I'll be following you. I've got you on Twitter now and Facebook, and I'll follow you with interest, and I'll see what you can do to bring more women into the tent.
Yeah.
We've just got over 2 minutes left, and the last thing I want to ask you about is, we're 50 miles from Enniskillen. It's closer to many of the large towns in this side of the west of Ireland.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about Brexit?
How are we keeping, guys?
If you want to talk a little bit about Brexit, we've got a guest joining us.
A Mayo man.
So we've got just 2 minutes. Can you tell us a little bit about your any concerns or worries about Brexit?
Yeah, I suppose the tariffs would be a big issue that an awful lot of businesses who travel north and south freely now, and who trade regularly daily, that would be a huge, make a huge hole in their profits.
Yeah.
And it's something that they wouldn't have budgeted for, because it's, and I suppose, a fear of the unknown as well, because they still don't know. Nobody seems to know what's happening yet in relation to tariffs and taxes. But I know that from speaking to a lot of people here, the biggest fear they have is that there will be a hard border.
Yeah.
And people still remember the hard border.
You're talking about the boys who used to go and play in the north and having to sit at the border checks.
That's it. And even the practicalities of, you know, we know people who are living in the north and working in the south, and they have childcare in the north, their kids are in school. And again, I suppose for females, you know, if you're rushing to pick up your children from school or childcare, and there's a border and there's a delay at the border, they're the practicalities. Say if Derry are coming down to play, Derry City are coming down to play Sligo Rovers in a soccer match on a Saturday evening, you know, what are the practicalities of travelling? Are you going to have to be, is every car going to have to be checked? Is there going to be a passport check? Are you, you know, is it going to be a delay? Are you going to be late for the match? Are you going to bother coming down? And it's the same for tourism as well. If tourists see, well, there's a hard border there, are they going to come to Sligo? Are Sligo, people who visit Sligo, are they going to go up to the Giant's Causeway? Or are they going to go up to Belfast? Or are they going to go to Derry? Like, they're all the unknowns as well. So people are worried about that.
Yeah, it would be a huge hindrance. I was just talking with Declan this morning. He's telling me about his experience coming across the border into Belfast, just maybe 10 years older than me. Different world from what I grew up in. And ultimately the sort of 1998 and onwards is a situation that we want to continue, and great turmoil will come if that changes. But that's time run out, so I want to thank Declan for your guidance and touring me around, and Marie, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much,
guys.